Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. And speaking of the constitutional monarchy, the Commonwealth includes the Queen Elizabeth II and will include her son and grandson. And in Australia, where Gregory explicated at one point sought to separate itself from constitutional monarchy, it continues and it has a new prime minister. The prime minister's name is Anthony Albanese. I'm struck, Gregory, a photograph that's showing the new prime minister, Albanese, shaking hands with Jacinda Ardern, the prime minister of New Zealand. They are part of Five Eyes. And speaking of how together they're going to confront the challenge of climate change and the challenge of the People's Republic of China in Oceania. Does this indicate a change in the weather in New Zealand? Does this indicate that Mr. Albanese is going to stand up to the Chinese aggression, such as the buzzing of his surveillance aircraft over the South China Sea? And are you pleased with that handshake with Ardern?
Well, the if you like, the reconciliation between the New Zealand and Australian prime ministers was inevitable, because Jacinda Ardern, as with Anthony Albanese in Australia, Jacinda Ardern and Albanese are both from the left wings of their Labour parties, and both have strong ideological connections over the years. So it was natural that the break in governance in Australia, the transformation from a conservative government to a Labour government, would provide the opportunity for a reconciliation between Australia and New Zealand, and, by the way, between Australia and the People's Republic of China. Now, it's not all plain sailing, because they still have national interests in all instances to address. And whilst Jacinda Ardern and Albanese are solidly behind resisting the Chinese move into the South Pacific and to Southeast Asia, they still have some differences. And whilst Jacinda Ardern came to Canberra, greeted Albanese very warmly, it was clear that her first priority was to resolve an issue about the extradition of peoples between New Zealand and Australia. There is a free movement act between the two countries, so that there is free movement of Australians and New Zealanders between each country. And that has meant, actually, that a huge proportion of the New Zealand population now lives in Australia, because they have access to Australian benefits and the like, particularly welfare benefits. But they also come over for employment opportunities. So they're coming together, and they're both, if you like, demonstrating that they are, just because they're from the left wing of their respective Labour parties, that they are not pro-Chinese. And this has been a stigma which they've had to overcome, because both of them have been constantly accused of being overly accommodating to the Communist Party of China. Prime Minister Albanese made it clear that Australia supported the defense of Taiwan. He supported the Quad to contain the People's Republic of China, and he supports the AUKUS Pact, the Australia, United Kingdom, United States new security pact. So in that regard, I think he's also paving the way for New Zealand, which, as you say, a member of Five Eyes, to come back into the fold in many respects in South Pacific security. That, I think, is starting to happen. So Jacinda Ardern, in fact, you could argue, is moving strategically to the center, just as Albanese has been doing. And that's going to be very positive for the United States. But also, they have to start coming up with a new approach to how they deal with the South Pacific nations. They were very fortunate that the aggressive response to the Chinese moves on the Solomon Islands has been to see the Pacific Islands Forum countries, the South Pacific countries, reject a treaty with Beijing, which would have made the South Pacific, a commonwealth of a sort with Beijing. That's been resisted. That doesn't mean that Beijing has stopped in its attempts. It just means that they were, if you like, called out for being too blatant, too aggressive, too unsubtle in their approach. They even sent Wang Yi, the foreign minister of the PRC, to Papua New Guinea during the run-up to the Papua New Guinea elections, which are going to be in early July. And this was seen to be interfering with the sovereignty, if you like, of the PRC, of the Papua New Guineans. And if, so we've got the states where both of the current prime minister, James Marape, and his potential successor, Peter O'Neill, a former prime minister, both agreeing that China's behavior was unacceptable, even though they wished to maintain good relations with Beijing, but it was nonetheless unacceptable for them to be so aggressive.
What I take from your remarks is you're satisfied so far that Ardern and Albanese regard China as a threat and they're going to push back. Is that correct?
That's correct. And Beijing has already recognized that and is trying to test the Australians and the incident over the South China Sea, potentially certainly damaging an Australian reconnaissance aircraft,
right,
was seen as very aggressive by Australia. And that will actually do a lot of damage to Beijing, and Beijing is now escalating further by trying to close the Taiwan Straits, and that I think is also going to get a strong Australian, New Zealand, Japanese, and US response point to that. And already we've seen Taiwan respond to that by announcing its new supersonic cruise missiles, which have the capacity to reach Beijing.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.